This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran wa tayyiban mubarakan fi. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi tasliman kathira. Amma ba'du. Come to the next hadith, number 16, I believe it is. Alayhi kathalik, hadith number 16. And it's the hadith that's in Sahih al-Bukhari Muslim from the Jawami' al-Kalim of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a word you should know, Jawami' al-Kalim. Jawami' al-Kalim is the ability that he had to say a few words, but the statement that he made had far-reaching meanings and implications. This hadith today is like that. Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama nas kal ibn al-mi'a la takad an tajida fiha rahilatan. He said that the people are like 100 camels. You can barely find one camel suitable to ride from amongst them. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sheikh brought it now in his book about the da'wah and the du'at. And this hadith is connected to what was mentioned last week. But as I said, it's from the Jawami' al-Kalim. Rasulullah can say something sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that thing can be, it could be understood multiple ways because it's filled with wisdom. So pay attention. This hadith is Bukhari and Muslim. And it's an important lesson for everybody to know. He said that mankind, the human beings in this masjid, other than this masjid, they are like 100 camels. You can barely find one who is suitable to ride. There are two ways to understand this hadith, according to the ulama of al-Islam. We want to say to our young brothers, the millennials, brothers and sisters, don't be some mujtahid on your own, going into the Quran and going to the sunnah, coming up with your own interpretation. It's not the way to do it. We all have to turn our attention to what the scholars said, the competent ones said. And when I say scholars, I'm not talking about that Jesus Christ mentality that some Salafi people are upon, some Muslims are upon. The sheikh, and we go overboard with this sheikh business. And right now, we are lost in the sauce because we go overboard. This is a problem with the Muslims. We go overboard with the imams of the madhabs. We go overboard with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We go overboard with our teachers. We go overboard with these ulama. I'm opposed to that stuff. We don't make blind following to anybody other than the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to be in the middle. You're not a mujtahid. Don't go into the Arabic language and just come up with your own meaning. I've seen people like that. And also, don't be one of those people who is clear what your sheikh said. What the sheikh said is wrong. The sheikh is an oppressor. The sheikh is a bully. The sheikh is not acting right. So because we love him and all of that, it doesn't change the fact that he's bullying people. You don't want to call it. Other people call him, they see it. So don't try to act to people like your sheikh ain't a bully. He's a straight up bully. And we don't like bullies. So as it relates to this hadith, what did the scholars say? The scholars of Islam said the meaning of this hadith, the first meaning is, this is one of the proofs of Islam if you want to show and prove the equality between people. And when I say equality, that's for lack of a better term, because we are not equal. We're equal, but we're not equal. Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are they equal, those who know and those who don't know? You, little man, are those who know equal to those who don't know? No. So what equality? The ulama are not like the people who are ignorant. Your mother and your father, are they equal to everybody else? No, they're not equal. So what we mean by equality is no one's blood is more important than anyone. That's what we mean by equality. This hadith goes to show it's a dalil if you want to prove the equality between people, their blood in Islam. This is a dalil. The people are like 100 horses, 100 camels. You can barely find one suitable to ride. So it means from 100 camels, there's not one camel that a man can ride who's an odd camel. They're all the same. All of them are unrideable. So they're all equal. So mankind are like 100 camels that you can't find one suitable to ride, meaning they're equal. To further elaborate very quickly, Allah said in the Quran, or the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's no virtue of the Arab over the non-Arab. There's no virtue of the non-Arab over the Arab. Well, Arab's blood is more important than our blood. Even clearer than that, authentic hadith, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-muslimun tatakafu dima'uhum wa yas'a bidhimmatihim adnahum. The believers, their blood is equal. All of them are equal when it comes to offering protection for somebody. So if you can imagine, this is our community. And there's a non-Muslim who wants protection from our community against some other non-Muslims. For an example, the one who has the least amount of money here, as long as he's mature and he's from our group, our tribe, that guy who needs protection is his friend. So this brother says, I'm offering him my protection. The rest of us, all of us, have to honor that with that brother. And no one can say, I'm the imam, I'm the teacher, I got more money, I'm older than him. Nobody can say that. All of us have to take care of that protection that he gave to this man. So that happened with a lady by the kunya of Hani. When the Prophet conquered Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hani gave her protection to one of the people of Quraysh, who was a problem in Jahiliyyah. So when the companions saw him, they said, we're going to get you. We're going to kill you. He said, I gave Hani, gave my protection. He said, we don't care what this woman did. This woman don't have no rights. We don't care what she did. Hani told the Prophet what happened. Prophet Muhammad said, nobody touch her. As long as Hani gave him protection, then her blood is equal to everybody else. So if you could imagine, to bring the lesson home clearer, listen to this. We're on a boat, and the boat develops a hole, and the boat is sinking, and we're on that boat. La samaha Allah. This is an example. We're on that boat. Now we start saying, you know, in order to save the lives, we have to lighten the load on the boat. So we start throwing cargo over, everything to lighten up the load, but the boat is still sinking, and we're on that boat. We have to figure out who's going to get thrown over the boat. So someone says, let's throw the old people over the boat. They live their life. They're finished with their life. Let's throw them over the boat because everybody else has their whole life to live. So you can't throw those older people over the boat. Someone else said, let's throw the babies over the boat because when they drown, they're going to go straight to Jannah. Let's throw those babies over. They say, nah, we can't throw those babies over the boat. Let's throw all the Asians over the boat. Can't throw the Asians. Let's throw the ones with glasses over the boat. Can't throw the ones with glasses over the boat. Let's throw the women over. That's the point. We all are going to live together or we're all going to perish together because no one's blood is more important than the next man's blood. That's the meaning of this hadith. Allah said in the Quran, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The one who has the most taqwa, the best, is not one who's Arabic descent. It's the one who has the most taqwa. So that's the first way to understand this hadith. It's a dalil about the equality of people's blood. They're like 100 camels. There's no odd camel amongst them. 99 camel and one is good to ride and the other 99, no, they're all the same. They're all equal. That's not the meaning that a Sheikh Ali al-Halabi wanted by bringing this hadith. He brought this hadith for the other meaning of the hadith. The other meaning of the hadith is more apparent, and that is mankind is like 100 camels, like a dozen eggs, 100 camels, 1,000 words, you know, 100 camels. You will be hard-pressed to find one camel from amongst that big number. You'll be hard-pressed to find one camel suitable to ride. Those camels are going to be like the human beings. They have blemishes, problems. His leg is broke. He doesn't want you on his back. That one is crazy. That one is pregnant, the camel. That one over there has rabies, and that camel over there, this is it. That's how human beings are. The lack of competence in human being and the inability to take care of the job is prevalent amongst them. Which means when it comes to dawah, this is about the dawah and the du'at, that the people who are giving dawah right now for our ummah, most of them are not qualified and not competent. Prophet Muhammad says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-qudah thalatha, judging is of three types, three judges. Two of them are in the hellfire, and one is in the Jannah. So two-thirds, the majority, are in the hellfire, giving dawah, teaching, the judge. There are three types. One who doesn't know the haqq, so he judges based upon ignorance. He's in the hellfire. Two, the one who knows the haqq, the judge, he knows the truth, but he judges it in contradiction to it, in the hellfire. The third one is the one who knows the truth and he judges by it. So the majority of judges in the world, in Islam, in the non-Muslim, two-thirds are in trouble. Giving dawah is like that as well. Right now, people are like 100 camels. The people are giving dawah. From those 100 people, it's very hard to find one who knows what he's doing. So you're going to find the one who's talking, and he's talking about that which is not wrong, that which is not correct. Or he's talking about something that's correct, but it's the wrong time, or to the wrong people, or it's in the wrong way. Or he's just talking out of the side of his neck. And I've seen people like that when you sit and you listen to their dawah, you hear them, you have to, and you have no hesitation to pull them to the side and say, stop giving dawah. That is not dawah, what you're doing. What you're doing is just kalamphatic. You're not teaching anybody anything. You're listening to yourself speak because you're not teaching people anything about this deen. So as it relates to this issue, you remember last week, the hadith was about the appearance of defects. And it was about how the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the amana will be lost. That du'iyat al-amana fantadhir as-sa'a. If the trust is lost, wait for the hour, it's close. How will the amana be lost? People will be put in the wrong position. That is what he said. People will be put in the wrong position. The person who's supposed to be taking care of the situation, he's not the one who has the job. And I just want to say to anybody who's giving dawah out there, you know, those ulama of the past, they were very brutally honest about how they used to struggle with their niyyah. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the greatest scholars in al-Islam, used to say, there was nothing I struggled more with it than my niyyah, being sincere to Allah. People come to see you. People come to listen to you. How many hits do you get? Do you get more hits than this person? And this is how it is today. But we have to be a group of people who struggle and strive to make your niyyah for Allah. The dawah is a big challenge. And that, there are people involved in the dawah, and all they want is power. And that's why they say, don't go to Green Lane. Don't go to Green Lane. Don't go to Green Lane. Why? Why not go to Green Lane? Because we want all your money. We want all your money. Green Lane is from the Ikhwan Muslimin. You're lying. You're just making stuff up. You're lying on people. To the degree you're lying to get money. Don't go here. Don't go there. Listen to this, Ikhwani. Some of you may be giving dawah on the download, on the internet. You're giving dawah. Nothing wrong with that. You just stay in your lane and stay within your abilities. But listen, when you're giving dawah, searching for power, searching for money, that stuff will destroy you. You know how the Prophet just gave an example about the issue of the human being is like 100 camels? That's a method. That's a tashbih. He's teaching by example, giving an illustration for the Arabs to understand in their minds. They know what 100 camels are to them, 100 camels. You can barely find one to ride. So they understand the lesson that human beings, I need money. I need money today. If I don't come up with my rent money, today is the first of Muharram. Today is the first day of Muharram, 1,446. 45. If I don't get that rent money by the 4th, in a new few days, they're kicking me out. I go to him. He doesn't have it. I go to him. He doesn't have it. I go to him. Him. No one can give it to me. And I know someone from the audience, they have that money. But he can't give it to me because he has his own issues. Somebody wants to give it, but I came at a bad time for him. So the thing that I'm looking for, I can't get it from the people. That's the meaning of this hadith. You want someone to walk with you, to help carry your load, to assist you, you're not going to find them. You won't find them. And if you do find them, they make shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet gave a tashbih as it relates to that issue, gave a similar tool, an example, in order to educate and teach the people the importance of being aware of the reality of what's going on. So therefore, you have to take your time. You want to loan someone money? Take your time. Your money may not come back to you because people like 100 camels. You're not going to get someone competent and qualified to bring your money back. You want to go to Hajj? Okay. Don't go with the first organization that's offering you Hajj. You better do some field work and find out which organizations are being spoken about well and so forth and so on. Because out of all of the Hajj projects and programs, most of them are a problem. You're going to have a problem. You want to buy a car? You want to buy a car from a car dealer? Don't just walk up into any lot and buy a car dealer. Because the people are like 100 camels. You will barely be able to find one suitable to ride. You want a friend? The people are like that. Have your associates. As for the Khalil, the one you're going to tell him your stories and your secrets, your bosom buddy, people are like 100 camels. Be careful. They are like 100 camels. So that's the meaning of this hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he gave another similar tool that I want to advise you young brothers. He says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ma dhi'ban ja'i'an ursila fi ghanam بأفسد لها من حرص المرء على المال والشرف لدينه. He said, when it comes to your religion, if anybody from amongst you wants to accumulate money, make a lot of money, and if anybody amongst you, you want to have honor amongst the people, you want to be respected, he said, if you try to do in this religion where you try to, make a come up, people know you and you become well known. If you do that by trying to get money and trying to be popular, the Prophet said, that is more damaging upon you and your religion than if you were to send two ravenous hungry wolves. If you let loose two hungry wolves and they went into a corral where there were a bunch of sheep, white sheep, brown sheep, and they were defenseless, and those two wolves were hungry. The damage that the two wolves are going to do to those animals is going to be amazing. When they finish with those sheep, you're going to look and it's going to be carnage all over the place. Animal over here's neck is eaten, part of his neck, his leg is missing, part of his intestines is out, blood all over the place, the baby is dead, the mother is dead. Just you look, carnage. Rasulullah said, that's what will happen to a person's religion. More damage will be done to his religion if he's in the religion trying to make a come up. He's trying to make a come up, become popular. So make your niyyah for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't make your niyyah for the people to point to you, and don't make your niyyah for the people to say, look what he said, look what he did. That's the same for the imam as well. You may be an imam somewhere. Try your best to make yourself a person who's mukhlis to Allah. And this way, when you give dawah, you'll be able to say whatever you want to say and not worry about what people have to say to you. But if you're one of those people, if you're doing things to please people and stuff, you're not going to say the truth. One of those three judges, he knows the truth, but he won't judge by it. He knows the truth, but he won't mention it. And this fiasco that we have where people are expelling people giving dawah off of the sunnah for years, you ask the people in the audience, why do you say that about him? He doesn't know. The only reason why he took that position is he's scared of other people. He wants to hold his position. He wants the people to continue to see him as being on it. But he doesn't have the nerve and the audacity to say, you know what? I don't understand this. Why are we saying this about that brother? Yeah, he's an innovator because he went to Green Lane. So what, that makes him an innovator? Yeah, Ikhwan Muslimin Jam'iyya Hiya Turaf. You a kazab, man. Don't be quiet on that stuff. You have to ask these people, where you get this stuff from? Because you're oppressing people. So don't be one of those people who you know the truth, but you're quiet about the truth because you want to be honored. You want to be accepted. So that's the first hadith that the imam brought. The people are like 100 camels. This hadith, not only does it point to the fact that competency would be an issue that people will struggle with during our time, but it also goes to show how al-Islam doesn't put a lot of importance on the majority. It's one of those mini proofs, like the Quran said. Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of the people, they don't know. They don't know. They don't know who Allah is. Most of the people don't know the truth. Most of the people don't know how to be upright. Most of the people don't know their religion. Most of the people don't know the rights of other people. Most of the people don't. That's an ayah. The majority, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And there are many ayat like that. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَسْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Even if you wanted, Ya Muhammad, and you were doing everything possible to make people believe us, most of them will not believe. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَضُلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were to follow the majority of people on the earth, you're going to go astray. So many ayat are like that. This hadith is like that. The people are like 100 camels, that's a lot. You can barely find one out of that 100. 1%. It's hard to find one who's suitable to ride. Ikhwani, ikhwani, ikhwani. This COVID that we're dealing with, COVID is an issue dealing with medicine, you know, the medical profession, doctors, people who know what they're doing, scientists. Abu Osama, I don't know anything about biology. I don't know anything about chemistry. I didn't finish high school. I dropped out of school when I was 13 years old. Doesn't mean I'm dumb and doesn't mean I don't know about certain things, but I start speaking as an authority about vaccines. Come on, man. Out of 100 people, 99 are not going to know what they're talking about. And the one who knows what he's talking about is more than likely someone who's been trained. But you expect me to sit here and listen to any and every Amr, Bakr, and Zaid from this audience, and we're talking about corona, it's not really real, and one of our students died from it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it's not real, and don't get the vaccine, because if you get the vaccine, you're going to get stuck to the metal pole, and you won't be able to move? No. This hadith helps us to understand, don't give your ears to every Amr, Bakr, and Zaid. Because the people are like 100 elephants, I was about to say. They're like 100 camels. 100. You can barely find one suitable to ride. Allah mentioned in the Quran, ayat after ayat, وَلَوْلَا فَضُلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمِ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. If it wasn't for the rahmah of Allah upon you people and his fadl on you, most of you would have followed shaitan except a few people. Just a few people. So this hadith, as it relates to the dawah, listen to me very carefully, ikhwani. Some of the people are giving dawah. They get a million hits and things like that. It is a fact that some of what they're saying is inspirational and informative. And I'm not a hater to say to you, I close off the way from you learning from people. No, as long as a person is on the sunnah and he's calling to the truth, you listen to him. But don't be a fanboy and don't be one of them people who say a million hits is a proof that the truth is with him. Don't be one of them people. Don't be one of those people. And I'm not going to say as well, because he has a million hits, he's no good neither. That's not fair. He has a million hits possibly because he has a way that Allah has blessed him to touch the hearts and the minds of the community. But we have to have the ability to be able to weigh what people are saying. That's the point. It's not how many. It's the quality of what's being said. So this hadith is connected to last week. So last week was talking about the appearance of defects. What's the appearance of defects? The amanah will be gone. I'm supposed to take care of this, to give it back to you. I lose it. That's the appearance of the defect, Prophet Muhammad said. Today's hadith and chapter is called, dealing with the defects. One of the defects that we got to deal with is a lot of the people giving dawah. It's a problem. You have to take your time. All of you, everybody here, you have to take your time. And, when it comes to this social media, YouTube, you'll see someone give a lecture and then the comments, there's only positive things because it's a fanboy. He liked the guy. But if you listen to the lecture, if you listen, with your background information, you listen to the lecture, you're going to say every hadith that he used was weak. And he was calling and inviting people to shirk. And I also heard racism in what he was saying. That's what you picked up with your filters and what you know. But the fan, he can't see any of that. Every father is impressed with his own child. Kullu abin bi ibnihi or bi ibnihi mu'jibun. Every father thinks his kid is the best. So if a person likes someone, he could do no wrong. No. Leave those comments. You listen to what people are saying and judge them based what they're saying on the deen and information that's either correct or incorrect. So now, the next hadith is talking about how to deal with the defects. Hadith number 17. How to deal with the defects. So the defect is coming. The sheikh brought, rahmatullahi alayhi, the proof about losing the amana. The dawah is an amana. Inna aratna al-amana ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa abaynan yahminnaha fa shfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan innahu kana. So the amana that Allah introduced and offered is the amana of the sharia, the heavens and the earth and the mountains. Allah said, do you want to be responsible for the deen? You want to take that responsibility? Heavens and the earth and the mountain, they shrieked from that responsibility. And they were afraid. They said, we're not taking that responsibility. Allah said mankind took responsibility for it. And he is extremely ignorant and oppressive. He shouldn't have never done it because here he is. Lo and behold, he has responsibility for the amana. Look at the amana. Look at the amana. This masjid in Salat. We expect the Imam Hafidhullah to have had wudu. We don't know, but that's an amana that he should have the wudu. I'm in the row and you in the row. I expect that the two people who are between me, either side of me, they have their wudu. Because if I don't have my wudu or one of them don't have the wudu, then we're responsible for creating shaitan, a space in the line. The mu'adhin gave the adhan today. He has to have the amana. That's why the mu'adhin al-Islam, some of the ulama, the majority, they said that the mu'adhin gets more rewards than the imam. More reward than the imam. So the mu'adhin, who is he? Is he going to be Michael Jackson if Michael Jackson became a Muslim? Is Michael Jackson going to be the mu'adhin of the Muslims if he became a Muslim? What do you think? Who said that? Go get the whip in here, man. Go get the whip. If Michael Jackson was a Muslim, became a Muslim, you can make tawbah from whatever you did. A tawbah wipes away whatever you did before it. But if a person became a Muslim, as it relates to the imam, as it relates to the mu'adhin, we're going to put somebody up there who has diana. He's an example. He's going to be a person that the community, they hold in high regard and they respect them. Because the coming in of the prayer is important. Has to be ameen. Just not getting up there saying Allahu Akbar. You have to learn what you're doing. How to move, what to say, how to say. And so. And plus, you got to know what you're doing. And that goes to show that a person who has special needs, a so-called handicapped people, the fact that a person has special needs doesn't mean that he's not trustworthy. The Prophet had the Mu'adhin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Maktum. He couldn't see. He couldn't see when the sun came up, or when the sun couldn't come up. But the people had to be telling him, it's time for the adhan now. What if he had a group of friends who were practical jokers? The son is not up and he said, come on, do that now. Companions didn't play with the religion like that. That man is Amin, and no one around him is going to play a joke like that with the religion. All right now, in the masjid, Amana. You go into the toilet, Akramakumullah, there's a mobile phone, there's a leather jacket. It's not yours. So bring it to the office and leave it. Prophet Muhammad said, hadith last week, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if the amana is lost, then wait for the hour. The amana is lost. If people steal from the masjid, they tried to rob this masjid. They came in here after closing hours with a crowbar, try to bust open the thing. They bust open the window, try to go into safes. Our kids take from the masjid, the amana. I'm not saying this masjid, but there may be some masjid when they collect money on Friday. They're supposed to count that money up and be transparent and let us know where that money is going and how much. There's some masjids don't do that. Not at all. Not at all. And people talking about they on the sunnah. Salafi. For an example, you stealing the money? No accountability for the money? You're not moving the community forward with being professional and businesslike in issues like this? No amana. So the amana in this masjid, not to mention your house, not to mention your neighbor, not to mention, we got all kind of amanas all over the place. So this hadith shows ikhwani, the majority is not always put down, but most of the time is put down. Now, how do we rectify the defects? The sheikh brought the next hadith. And that's the hadith in which the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's the rawi of the hadith? Tamim al-Dari, who was a tremendous companion, who actually saw the dabba. He saw the dabba with his own eyes. And some people say he saw the Dajjal, Allahu Alam, but he saw the dabba, and he came back and told the Prophet that he got shipwrecked. And he saw this dabba, one of the 10 major signs for Yawm al-Qiyamah, tremendous companion. He said in the famous hadith that we all know, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deenu nasiha. Qulna liman ya Rasulullah, qala lillahi, wa li kitabihi, wa li rasulihi, wa li a'immatil muslimin wa a'ammatihim. Our religion is given advice, and he mentioned it three times. Aisha said, when the Prophet used to speak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would mention things and talk very slowly and mention them three times for emphasis. She used to criticize the people who came after the companions because some of them started speaking very quickly and eating up their words. Like in America, African Americans, we have our own language, Ebonics, they call it. We eat up the words. So instead of saying, I'm going to the store, I say, I'm a go. That's all, I'm a go. So I put that together. I think Mirpuris can appreciate what I'm saying, because in the Mirpuri language, it's kind of like the same way. It's not Urdu. You put that stuff together. So the people started talking like that after the Nabi. Aisha, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, got on those people and said, Prophet Muhammad didn't talk like this. He used to talk in a calm, easy way so people can understand. And when he wanted to make emphasis, he would repeat things three times. So if the companions heard it multiple times, they know it was important. Like what he said, inni utitu, when he told Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla, should I not teach you the greatest surah of the Quran? Before I leave the masjid, he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah got busy. Then he got ready to leave. Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla said, Ya Rasulullah, you say you're going to teach me the greatest surah. He said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He al-Quran al-Azim was saban muthani alladhi utituha. The seven oft-repeated verses. It's the Quran and Surah al-Fatiha. We repeat it all the time. Why? Because it's the mother of the Quran. So it's repeated over and you read it every day, all the time, for every prayer, because it's so important. Why are we dealing with Al-Fatiha all the time? Wajib prayer, Sunnah prayer, Istikhara.
Juma'i, janazah. Janazah, you don't make rukur, you don't make sajda, but you're going to read Surah Al-Fatiha. Why are you going to read that surah? Because that surah is the greatest surah of the Quran. And you're going to memorize, you're going to keep saying it. So if the thing is important, Rasulullah used to repeat it. Now listen, for the meaning of this hadith, listen. The deen is giving good advice, nasiha. She said, to who? He said, good advice to Allah and his messenger. Does that mean that it's permissible for a Muslim to give advice to Allah and said to Allah, Ya Allah, I want to advise you that tomorrow you should make it a nice day, weather-wise. Is that what it means to advise Allah like that? Ya Allah, I advise you, please guide this one and guide that one to Islam. I'm advising you. That's not the meaning of that. No one can give nasiha to Allah like that. But it goes back to show the importance of the language. Giving good advice. The word nasiha comes from the word noon, sad, and ha. Nasaha. Nasiha comes from that. And that word means to be pure and to be unblemished. To be unblemished, like honey. This is honey. They say this is asal nasih, pure honey. So nasiha to Allah means being sincere to Allah, having ikhlas to Allah, worshiping Allah without making shirk, making Allah greater than your shirk, making Allah the one who you want to please, not your group. I heard a brother who was put over some of the brothers in America by a sheikh from another country, and he put this brother over and said that this brother who he put over my people, the sheikh said this person was the most senior Salafi and the most knowledgeable. And that's not true. That brother is not senior and not the most knowledgeable. Allah knows best who's the most knowledgeable. But where did the sheikh get that from? Where did he get that from? Where did he get that from? So as it relates to this issue, brother, this is amazing. Listen, ikhlas to Allah. Don't be there to fear the sheikh. Brother talking about, I'm going to tell the sheikh on you if you keep doing that. And the brother said, oh, don't tell the sheikh on me. Don't call the sheikh on me. What are you worrying about that stuff for? You're a grown man. You're going to let this man sit there and make you guys terrorize? I'm going to call the sheikh on you. Who's the sheikh? Don Corleone going to come and get you. What are you talking about? As it relates to nasiha to Allah, is being sincere to Allah. Don't make shirk with Allah. Slaughter only for Allah. Only be afraid of Allah. Only make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. Tawakkul on Allah only. That's what the meaning of that is. That's nasiha to Allah. This deen, the whole deen, is advice. And that goes to show the importance of nasiha. Number one, he made the whole deen nasiha. He said a deenu nasiha. A deen and nasiha. The whole religion is advice. Shows the importance of a nasiha. Also, from what shows the importance of nasiha is it's the work and the actions of the prophets and the messengers. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah mentioned all of those prophets and they basically said the same thing. Ubelligukum risalati rabbi, risalati rabbi. Wa ansahu lakum wa alum min Allahi ma la ta'lamun. Hud said it, Shu'aib said it, Salih said it. Allah mentioned their stories one after another. The first one said, I'm going to relay the message of my Lord and I will advise you. And I'm a sincere advisor. And I know about Allah what you don't know. And then the next one came. He said, same thing. I'm going to explain to you the risalat of my Lord. Wa ana nasihun lakum. And I'm an advisor, sincere advisor to you. So it's from the job of the prophets and the messengers. Also, from the importance of it is, we all have a responsibility to do it. There's no one who's exempt. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best group of people brought forth for mankind. You have to make al-amr maruf and al-nahyu an al-munkar. You have to give nasiha to Muslims and non-Muslims as well. You see people doing wrong, you have to try to stop them. You see people not doing the right thing, you have to encourage them. That's our job. So it's important. Jabir ibn Abdullah, one of the young companions, said, when I accepted Islam, Rasulullah gave me the bayah and said, I'm going to give you the bay'ah. You became a Muslim, I'm going to give you a bay'ah that you should give advice to every Muslim when you see him. And never be afraid. You see something from someone, he's doing something, and you know it's not right. But what we do is, I don't want any trouble, I'm just going to let this guy, I'm going to let it go. Pick my fights. Can't be into every battle. But the Prophet gave him the bay'ah. Anytime he saw something, he would say, hey, you're sitting like that. Hey, you said this. Hey, this is like that. Hey, and he was serious about that. So if it wasn't important, Rasulullah wouldn't make an issue to take the bay'ah from people based upon it. So it was important. The whole religion is advice. Advice to Allah, sincerity. As it relates to the meaning of sincerity, and we know that nasiha means sincerity, Allah mentioned in the Quran, لَيْسَ عَلَى الضُّعَفَاءِ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرْضَىٰ وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ حَرَجٌ إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. When it comes to jihad, when the Muslims go out to fight, some can't go. Some people are weak and sick. Some of the people, they don't have the money. They don't have a camel to go. They don't have any weapons, so they can't go. Other people had something to do. He had to take care of his auntie, his mother, whatever. Allah revealed this ayat exonerating those people who couldn't go out to fight. He said, there is no blame on those who are weak or those who are sick or those who don't have the financial means to spend. No blame on them as long as they nasahu lillahi wa rasuli. As long as they had nasiha for Allah and his, they were sincere to Allah and his messenger. The reason that stopped them from going was not being afraid. The reason that stopped them from going was not they didn't want to die. The only reason they didn't go, the man was sick. The man was old. The man didn't have a camel to ride that far distance. But they love Allah and his messenger. So that is how we know nasiha means advice. It means sincerity because Allah mentioned it. As long as they have nasiha to Allah and his messenger, ikhlas. As for what the Prophet said, he said, having nasiha to Allah, I told you what that is. Having nasiha to the book of Allah, having ikhlas, learning it, reading it, tajweed, memorizing, respecting the one who memorized it, making your children able and capable to read it. So the man has some money, doesn't have a lot of money. She doesn't have a lot of money, has some money. The mother is going to use what little money she gets from the government. What little money is hers. She's going to take some of that money and let her kid learn the Quran on Zoom from some sheikh in Egypt or Nigeria somewhere. That's nasiha to the book of Allah. The commitment that the mother has to do what she can to help the child to learn the Quran. We have people here who themselves are falling short of working with the Quran, reading it, memorizing it, dealing with it. Nasiha to the book of Allah. Nasiha to the book of Allah is the book of Allah is the dalil over us. Not the sheikh, what the sheikh said. Not the madhab, what the madhab said. The book of Allah is the dalil and the hujjah. That's nasiha to the book of Allah. There are some people who if you tell them, astahlifuka billah, say wallahi, he'll say wallahi and he'll lie. But he'll say, wa nabi, I swear by the nabi, and he won't lie. Nasiha to Allah Azza wa Jal is don't swear by other than Allah. So everything positive and good that you can think about the Quran, that is nasiha to the Quran. Believing it, not doubting it. And one of the most famous people giving dawah today, and wallahi, this brother has some skills, and I do believe he can be an asset from the community for the ummah. But unfortunately, when you go to these prestigious universities, you start losing your mind, and then you start seeing things that are weird. But when that brother came out and started saying maybe the Quran was not preserved, that is not nasiha to the book of Allah. To introduce that idea in the minds of our shabab is the opposite of nasiha to Allah and the book of Allah. Because our children don't know the religion and they like your talks before that a lot. And now you're saying this and they say, yes, the sheikh says. So the Quran, maybe it wasn't preserved. So nasiha to the book of Allah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yadayllahi wa rasulih. Don't put yourself before Allah and His Messenger. The Quran said something, don't you come and say something else. Or you can't take it, you don't want to take it. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nasiha to the Muslim leaders, the imams of the Muslims. Listen, nasiha to them, and you know, you younger brothers, you're not dealing with what we had to deal with 10, 15 years ago, when we had to deal with a lot of people of takfir in this country. They're not around like they used to be. We had a lot of young brothers, because of the oppression that's going towards our Muslim brothers and sisters across the world, they feel isolated, they don't like it. So our young people, they start getting upset. I saw a documentary yesterday about the sister Shamima Begum, the girl who went to Syria. She went to Syria with some other girls from Holland and this place. And now when they got there, they saw that ISIS were Khawarij. It wasn't the real Islam. They were murderous. They were, you know, they were animals in their behavior. They saw that. Now they can't get out. So I watched that. I watched that. We used to have that problem. Young brothers in the audience, just sincere, trying to learn his religion. And he's getting better and better. Before you know it, he goes, he's find himself over there doing what? Alhamdulillah, we don't have that scourge that we used to have on that level. I'm in Leeds right now. Some of the people responsible for 7-7 came from Leeds. I've been in Leeds. No knowledge in Leeds. Leeds is not like Birmingham, but it's just sincere brothers who don't know what they're doing. They're here and they go out and then they mess stuff up. Mess stuff up. And nasiha, listen, to the leaders of the Muslims, don't be one of those people who you are super focused on the hukam of al-Islam. They're this, they're that. Come on, man. You got too much stuff to be doing. You have too many things to accomplish in your life to be worrying about what he's doing, this king, this prime minister. So having nasiha to the leaders of the Muslims, like it who like it, hate it who hate it, it means making dua for them. We make dua for the leaders. Because if Allah corrects and rectifies them, inshallah, he'll rectify and correct the bilad and the other ibad. So nasiha to them is that the salaf used to make dua for them. Also, nasiha to the leaders of the Muslims means you don't talk against them in public, even if he's not your leader from your country. You don't talk out in person, in public against them, agitating the community against the leaders. You don't do that. Something that the salaf of this ummah were against. And you can do that in two ways. You can make khuruj in trouble with your tongue, or take that sword out and start. None of that. So we make dua for those people. We don't make takfir of those people. We listen to them and we obey them. And what they tell us to do, that's not haram. So a lot can be said about this, but this is one of the fundamental basic asul from the asul of our religion and what we're upon. That the leaders of al-Islam, they have an amana, a big amana. And we have an amana as well. Their amana, they're going to be asked about it. Your amana, you're going to be asked about it. Don't be of those people who waste a lot of time talking and dealing with these hukam. Even just a lot of kalam about politics is a problem. Learn your religion, inshallah. Learn your religion. And you'll get the tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal. So as it relates to that, don't let people get you all messed up with the hukam, the hukam. Lastly, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is giving advice to the Muslims. Giving advice to the general Muslim folk, brothers. The Muslims want to know their religion. So you help them to learn their religion. You learn and you give them advice in a nice way, not rough, not tough, in a nice way. There was this issue that some of these extremists, actually jarh wa tajrih, extremists, you know, one of the big du'at of the sunnah they used to say about advice, nusahihu wa la nujarrihu. We advise each other and we correct each other. When you make a mistake, I make a mistake. You correct me and I correct you. But we don't wreck each other. Correct them, don't wreck them. He made a mistake. So correct him. نصحه ولا نجرحه نصحه ولا نهدم. We advise and we don't destroy. I would like to tell you who said that. One of the sheikhs of our dawah, that they hated him. And listen to this, listen to what he said. If a person is on the sunnah and he's a practicing Muslim, he may be dealing with the kuffar, he may be dealing with Muslims who have, you know, crazy ideas, and he's giving dawah to them, educating them. If he makes a mistake, this Muslim who's on the sunnah and he's benefiting, the sheikh al-Ma'rabi said, the Muslim who's doing this, as other people on the sunnah, if he makes a mistake, we advise him and we don't destroy him. We don't make shetim and sub like we do. So the brother made a mistake. I heard his mistake. I come and I blast him. I blast this man, or he blast me. Now, when the sheikh said that, the Quran and the Sunnah supports that. Not only does the Quran and the Sunnah support it, but our Sheikh Rabir, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he himself said that many times. But because this one is the enemy, they said that was a manufactured, made-up principle. You advise and you don't destroy. To that point, our dawah has come to the point where you don't even see you're supposed to be gentle and easy with people when you're giving advice. A Muslim makes a mistake. That Bedouin who urinated in the masjid, is that a mistake or not a mistake? It's a big mistake. The companions wanted to deal with that man. Prophet Muhammad said, no, correct the situation. Go ahead and finish. Bedouin, finish. Let him finish. Now you guys come and clean it up. They wanted to beat him up. No, don't do that. Prophet Muhammad would say, Ma balu aqwam. What's wrong with some people who said this and this? He didn't expose them. What's wrong with Amr, Bakr, and Zayd? They did this, they did that. You think Amr, Bakr, and Zayd want to listen to you after that? If you throw them under the bus like that? So, this is the point I'm trying to make for you brothers. Listen. How in the world was such a basic, easy principle? A man makes it clear, if one of us is giving dawah and he's a person of the sunnah, he's a beneficial brother, he's giving dawah to the community, he has to deal with the kuffar who are after him. You know, like in this country, sometimes kuffar get in our way. You got to deal with other Muslims from other groups. He's having problems with them. They say Wahhabi, whatever. So he has to deal with that. So by you correcting him and also making a sub and shatam, you're adding on to his efforts. You're helping those people against him. You pull him to the side. Come here, man. Come here. You said something that you shouldn't have said. And the reason why it was wrong was this. And then you let him correct it himself. As for you tell a sheikh on him, you write a PDF on him, you refute him, you put him off of it. This stuff of jarh wa tajri is a joke. If this was the religion, ikhwani, if this was the religion, I don't want this religion if it's like that. Rough and tough and nasty and fighting each other. It's not our religion. I look in this audience, I see an audience of faces of people who are just trying to worship Allah. There's nobody in this audience trying to be a troublemaker, nor is anybody in this audience, inshallah, trying for people to be rough and tough with them. Hey, we want to be Muslims, but we want to be Muslims in a nice way. Don't put in our community this hatred that you people have. We don't want to deal with that. You people deal with that stuff. So the way of rectifying these issues at Hawaii is that we have to have an open door policy of being willing and ready to give advice to one another. So we're going to stop here, inshallah. If you brothers have any questions about today's two hadith and the issues and the dawah, you can put your questions forward. What time is the adhan, Akhi Shiraz? Okay. Huh? Hey, tfaddal. What's your name, my man? Saad. Saadakullah. Saad, where you from? You're not new, right? You've been here before, huh? Where you been? Busy. You got married or something? Inshallah. Congratulations. تفضل يا أخي سعد. All relationships will be cut off يوم القيامة except what is from my relationship. Meaning your relationship to someone, cousin, uncle, brother, is not going to benefit you يوم القيامة. The only relationship that will benefit people is the one who's connected to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. For that reason, Umar, he married and he went to marry the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's He went to marry the Prophet's granddaughter, Ali ibn Abi Talib's daughter. He said, I want to get this reward. I want to be related to Rasulullah. Already, Umar's daughter is Prophet Muhammad's wife. But that's Umar's lineage. Ali had a daughter, Kulthum. Umar married her. And the reason behind that, motivation, so that he would be connected to the Prophet Yawm al-Qiyamah. So those people who don't like Umar from the Shiite and curse him, why would Ali ibn Abi Talib marry his daughter to the Amir al-Mu'mineen if there was an issue? So now, Quraysh are not like regular people. Quraysh can't take zakat because of the lofty thing. But that doesn't mean that if a person is Quraysh and he doesn't have any deen, that he can walk around special. No, that doesn't mean that. But he does have a place. He does have a place. Any more questions? Any more questions? For the question side. As for the hadith, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Anyone who believes in Allah on the last day, let him be quiet, let him speak good or be quiet, because you're going to be held accountable for whatever you say. May Allah help us, forgive us for what we do in terms of getting angry, the curse words, the mean words, how we do that stuff. May Allah help all of us. قلوا آمين. Usually a person is going to know if something is good or not good from what's coming out of his mouth. So the Salaf used to say, it's going to be three situations that's going to present himself as it relates to his kalam. Whatever kalam comes out of his head, he's going to know that it's good because it's the dhikr of Allah, it's the Quran. So go ahead and say it because khayru kalam, kalam Allah. Wa khayru huda, huda rasulillah. So he's saying the Quran, the sunnah, or something from that. Connected to good. Saying to his mother, I love you. Is that Quran? Is that Sunnah? No, but the Prophet said, if you love someone, tell him. So he knows it's good. So if he knows it's good, let it come out. And then there's a kalam that he knows is bad. Curse words, swear words, making ghibah, mentioning things about people that's not his business. He knows that's not, he's lying. He knows that he knows. So with that, the person keeps it in. And then there's the third thing. That speech he doesn't know. Is it good? Is it not good? He's not sure. He really doesn't know. So what should he do with that speech? Huh? He should remain silent. Da ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribu. Leave what you doubt for what you don't doubt. So if I keep this kalam in, I have no doubt. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I didn't say it. I'm okay. But if I spoke it, and I don't know if it's good or bad, I may get punished, I may not get punished. So what he knows to be good, let him say it. What he knows to be evil, keep it in. And it's possible there's some kalam he doesn't know if it's beneficial or not beneficial. He may say this thing and trigger off a problem, hurt somebody's feelings. You don't know that. So if that's a possibility, just keep it in. Okay, Ikhwani, we're going to stop here. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, may Allah Ta'ala bless all of you brothers. Continue to establish you on the Kitab and the Sunnah with balance. Be easy, be gentle. Stay away from this jarh with tajrih. This stuff creates animosity between us. The other thing I got, listen to me, 3,000 pounds. Wallahi. 3,000 pounds for anybody who wants to come. You say that a person not on the Sunnah, 3,000 pounds just to have the nerve, the audacity, and the courage just to come and talk to me. Just come and talk, that's all. 3,000 pounds, I'm going to give it to you, cash money. This is going to be recorded. You can always say, oh, he said he didn't give it. 3,000 pounds just to come have a discussion. They won't do that. You know why they don't do that? They don't do that, Ikhwani, because they want to create this confusion going between our communities.